Welcome, everybody, to the Homeseekers Podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and today I'm extremely excited to bring this episode to you all. It is a first for the Homeseekers Podcast. Today, we're joined by Sophia Rose. Sophia is a WealthHQ client who engaged in the WealthHQ program a little over 12 months ago. And following the correct financial structure with a side of dedication and desire, Sophia and her fiance Charles and young daughter have beat the odds and purchased their first home in 2024. Sophia, welcome to the Homeseeker Podcast. I'm extremely excited to have you on today. For the people listening, Sophia, can you just explain a little bit about yourself and your situation when you sort of reached out to begin with?
My name's Sophia Rose, as you guys all know already now. I am 24 years old. I grew up in South Auckland, so born and bred from South Auckland, and I am Niue and Tongan.
Awesome. Work-wise, what were you doing at the time you sort of applied through this program, and sort of give me us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, at the time that I applied for the ad that we did see at the time, I was working at Mercedes-Benz in the customer care team, organizing the bookings for car repairs, services, and Morana Fitnesses.
And Charles, your fiance?
He is still at the same employment now, which is Target Furniture.
Right. Okay. So both of you working, you've got a young daughter as well. So what was it that made you start thinking about your, you know, maybe looking towards a first home?
So obviously at the time, we didn't have our daughter with us. When we reached out, I was only 21 years old. So really young at the prime age of 20, you know, everyone wants to just kind of live life at that time. Me and my mother-in-law, we saw an ad on Facebook, reached out to Ali and said that we were keen to look at our options and purchasing our first home, and then proceeded to meet with him. I think it was literally like 2 days after.
Wow. Okay. So really quickly, so you and your mother-in-law just saw the ad from WealthHQ pop up on Facebook, and you sort of thought, why not? Was there any initial hesitations that you might have had when clicking on that link, or was it just like, why not?
Definitely. I thought it was a scam at first, as anyone would think when you see like an ad that says like, we can help you purchase your first home like five times faster. But then we took the leap of faith and just dive straight into it.
Okay.
And met with Ali.
So let's talk about that first interaction that you actually had with Ali. So how was that? Can you recall what that was like, how it all happened, how it went down?
Yeah. So it was actually very unexpected to meet a person like Ali, because he is very bubbly, and a person with that much energy, you're just like, whoa, like something's definitely wrong here. But then he reassured us, and then he showed us like what they do at One Stop during the time. And we were looped in straight away.
So you guys met with him, obviously in person back then. This was before we sort of did things online. Yeah. Was it you and your mother-in-law that met him, or you mother-in-law and Charles?
So yeah, both me, my partner, and my mother-in-law.
So all three of you, what was the intention for all three of you to be there?
Well, initially we wanted to purchase together as a family, but it wasn't until after that first meeting with Ali, me and my partner thought that maybe we could probably do it on our own.
Right. Was the when you kind of all of you went in looking initially to do it together, you guys realized that you could do it on your own potentially?
Yeah. There was definitely hope there, which we never thought that we could actually do it in the beginning. I mean, we always thought that you have to have meet certain criteria and all of that jazz. But Ali did provide a lot of knowledge and gave us reassurance for that.
How did the in-laws feel about that? Not kicking them out of an application.
Definitely sad, but they understood that we needed to grow on our own and create a solid foundation for us at that time and potential kids.
Of course. So you were obviously at that point, you weren't pregnant, your daughter wasn't around, it was just the two of you, you're extremely young, and you've responded to some ad, you've met an extremely bubbly Ali who's run through sort of the process and how we help people. So that first meeting in general was just to see what your options were. So in those early stages, after that meeting, you came away with a different perspective. That perspective was that you might be able to do it on your own and not necessarily need the help of the family. So what point within that meeting was it that sort of made you realize that you could actually do it on your own?
It was the property roadmap. When Ali had pulled up with the property roadmap, it actually shows you a timeline on when you can purchase a property or what it would look like if you were to do it from X, Y, and Z. And after seeing that plan, we were like, oh, maybe we can just, you know, be committed to this and purchase our first home.
Right. So you saw the property roadmap. You sort of had a look to see what you could do on your own. Now, out of curiosity, within that first application, was it just you and Charles inside that, or Was your mother-in-law's income taken into consideration, or was
it? Yeah, so we did two options at the time. Obviously, an option between me, my partner, and my mother-in-law. The odds were great. We were able to purchase then and there. But then when we switched up the plan to just having me and Charles's income on it, it did show us that we could potentially purchase in 2 years. So then that's really what caught our eye.
Right. And again, at 21 years old, you're thinking probably by 23 is pretty good going. Yeah. Now, there would have been some initial challenges that you would have faced, right, when sort of implementing the income allocation. And we'll dive into that a little bit, because you've gone through the meetings with Ali and not everything happens in the first meeting, right? You don't ever find a solution in the very first meeting. It's about building that, understanding your expenses, seeing where the shortfall is, and getting all those figures. So can you explain some of the, you know, initial challenges you might have had and sort of how you came over those?
Yeah, it was really hard at first when the plan was put in place. Being 21 years old and Charles at the time would have been 23, we love to shop, as anyone would. So when he implemented this plan, it did change our lifestyle a bit, which we were fully committed to doing, but it did take time to adjusting. Yeah. I think when you just put your mind to it and realize that if you do this, it can actually benefit you in 2 years' time, it takes you there. And it's just discipline.
And I guess through that process, obviously, as well, you did fall pregnant and you end up having a daughter. Did that motivate you even more to stick to it, to make sure that you could make that happen for the family?
Yeah, I think that was like the breaking point. Like, it was like, we need to get this done before our daughter's born, or like, we need to make sure that we have a house so that she can have something that when she grows up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's extremely powerful as well. Like, you had enough motivation to begin with, but you now added a little bit of motivation, right, as well. So like, we know that in the early days, you mentioned it was quite difficult. And sometimes when you take baby steps, it's a lot harder to stick towards, because you're trying to build up a deposit quicker and the amount you're actually putting away isn't as significant as you might want to because of your lifestyle. How did you overcome sort of the difficulties there and remain committed to sort of following this process?
Yeah, so me and Charles had no savings when we first reached out to Ali.
Wow, okay.
So no deposit at all. I mean, we were just slashing as our salary would come in.
KiwiSaver?
Yes, but very little contributions to okay. it as well. So when the plan was put in place, it was quite hard to see that money was going out, but it was growing really slowly. Obviously, starting from the bottom with no savings, it's going to take a lot of time for that to generate. But what we had put in place, me and Charles, is that we would still celebrate and we would still go out and do things that we could and not feel restricted to do anything. So like, if friends wanted to go out, we won't be like, no, like, we can't, we're yeah. saving.
So when you talked about, you know, the celebrations, was it, and you say, use that example, your friends want to go out, but you're very conscious that you still need to save. Was it more or less, we've set a goal, we have to save X amount this week. If we do, and we've got a bit left over, we can then go out and use that. Was that the sort of process
yeah,
you took?
It was a strict budget. Yeah. So if we were to go out, we were only meant to spend this much of money.
Yeah. Do you feel that, and I'm a firm believer of this, but you've gone through the process yourself properly from the start to the end and successfully purchase a property. But when you're building a plan, do you feel that it's extremely important to still have some form of leeway?
Yes, because otherwise you won't be able to achieve it. I mean, you're going to be working so hard and not be able to see any of the work that you put into it. You want to still be able to enjoy life while you're trying to reach a goal.
And I guess that's sometimes why budgets typically don't work, right? If you put every cent away to building, you know, a deposit or putting it away, and you don't kind of get to enjoy the fruits of your labor whilst you're going through the process, you can quite easily get derailed, right? But that doesn't sound like it happened to you, because that was built in relatively early into the plan that you guys had. So when we start thinking about the plan and we start looking at the income allocation, now, by now, everybody here should understand what the income allocation is, right? It was a 60-30-10 rule, making sure that you could put away 30% into growing your deposit faster and starting from the bottom to purchase a property, knowing that you need 10% of a deposit, right? That's a long way. You know, like, to go from zero to 50, 60, 70,000 is a long way with, might we add, no assistance from friends or family, right? This is all on the back of just you guys being young, working extremely hard to get there. What were some of the key strategies and principles you learned through the whole process that actually helped you continue that? So let's talk about, because obviously the income allocation, that 60-30-10 rule. Now, through the whole process as well, did you have like the constant assistance of the team, for example? I know Ali would have checked in with you here and there, but like, the whole making sure your hand was held through the process. Do you feel like that act of management and him just checking in with you really helped keep you on track and motivated?
Yeah, for sure. And it was just like a little message, even if it was just like a text to be like, hey, how are you going? Is there anything that we could help with? Is there any adjustments that we need to make to the plan to fit your lifestyle? Obviously, because positions do change over time. Nothing ever stays the same. So it was just that constant check-ins from the team at MathHQ.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you started at zero, right? And I'm kind of racking my brain here as well because I didn't realize that you started at zero and you've kind of got there, which is kind of just explodes the fact that you've got to where you are, which is amazing. When you sort of surpassed that first 6 to 8 months, did you find that the journey got easier?
Yes, definitely. So once you see the money in the account and your savings account, you kind of get mind blown about how much you were able to save within a short amount of time. And it just proves that like with a plan, you can do anything with, even if it's in a short amount of time. 3 months, you don't realize how much you're actually capable of saving.
Yeah, and I think that's a crazy thing because people obviously through the process start to realize that. Yeah. Now, again, don't know the answer to this question either, but when you started to save, did you save, I know you had KiwiSaver too, but did you do the whole voluntary contributions into your KiwiSaver?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. So we did that as well as racking up our contribution rate to 10%.
Wow. Okay. So you increase your contribution rate, which means you got less money in the hat. You're still putting money voluntarily into your KiwiSaver and you're saving an emergency fund on the side. With the 10%, did you feel that if you did that, the plan would be more successful because you're receiving less money, so there's less money to spend?
Yeah, definitely.
So you would have felt that was a big push for you?
Yeah. It's actually a funny story because during the time when we were saving as well, we got a part-time job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we got a part-time job in the mix just to help with more savings so that we could get there faster. I mean, we were really dedicated to the plan. So I initially went out and tried to find a part-time job, even if it was like for like 3 hours at nighttime, which I did. And I ended up being a commercial cleaner in the CBD.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you did not know that.
Yeah.
So you did that on the side and that was purely money going directly
into the savings account.
Right. So it wasn't there to supplement your lifestyle.
Yeah, we wouldn't see it. It was just to help us so that we could have a bit more leeway in regards to our salary itself. And having a child at the time and saving, it was quite hard to keep up with the expenses.
So by this time that you actually went out for a second job, your daughter had arrived. Yes. Okay. Wow. So it was one of those things that you could have quite easily just taken the money and just sat on that and let that plan drift by, right? But the motivation to actually keep going was there. Did Charles do any?
Yes. So Charles actually joined me in cleaning and cleaning. Yeah. So when I went for my initial interview with the commercial cleaning company at the time, he was waiting in the car. So they had asked me if there was anyone that I could refer on to them. And I was like, actually, my partner's in the car. Do you mind meeting with him now? And if there's any chance that you could put us at the same site to make it easier, which they did. So we were working on the same site Monday to Thursday from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m.
Wow. Okay, so literally working 9 to 5 and then another 3 hours on top of that. Goodness me. Was that always part of the plan for Charles to join you or did you just sign him up?
No, yep. I just signed him up and he was really keen too. I mean, he didn't want to leave me hanging by myself.
Yeah.
And it was more so like a protection kind of thing as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I had no idea. So you really grinded. So when I said at the beginning it was like a sprinkle of desire, you were really, really committed to this whole thing.
We wanted it so bad that we would have done anything to get into it.
And you ultimately are there, right? So let's transition from the fact that you've gone through the plan, you've been able to stick to the plan, you've gone out, found more income, right? You've put it away, you've stuck to all that. Let's transition from working through that process to actually finding out that you're ready to take that next step. And met with one of our mortgage advisors, and that obviously was Anna that you met with. Can you break down what sort of happened in that first meeting with Anna, if you can recall that, and sort of how did you feel at the end of that meeting?
Yeah, so our first meeting with Anna was we actually met with Anna twice. So the first time we weren't actually given the green light.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had thought that we had done a great job saving and keeping our accounts clean. Mm-hmm. But really there was just a little bit of pit stops that we had within our accounts that didn't qualify for the application at the time.
Right. Do you mind sharing what those?
Definitely, yeah. So we had dishonor fees within our account. So we had to keep our account conduct clean, mm-hmm. Which I think for 3 months it mm-hmm. was. But we had, I think it was several dishonor fees mm-hmm. in our account that we didn't keep up with. And it wasn't due to not having the money, but it was just lack of knowledge in regards to how it managing it mm-hmm. and really like tracking it.
Right. Okay. So they kind of held you back. You had to kind of change tack. You had to keep going. How did that make you feel at that time?
Disheartened.
Yeah.
We were quite sad because mm-hmm. when we met with Anna the first time, our initial was to come out there feeling like we were ready to start searching for our potential property.
Yeah. So I guess walking in there, you think you've done everything, you're 10 foot high, and then finding out that the smallest of things has kind of tripped you up. But naturally, you kept going, obviously. Yes. Gave you 3 more months to keep saving.
Yeah.
Kept you dedicated to the plan. Now, fast forward 3 months, you've got in that second meeting now with Anna. Those dishonor fees are cleared.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that process and that experience. Yeah. It would have been different.
Yeah. That first meeting, I mean, we were really hopeful. We were hoping that we would get the green light. So me and Charles were in the meeting and Anna had said, hey, your accounts look good. We've got the money there. We can go ahead and start looking for a property. And I think it wasn't until after that meeting, like when we hung up with Anna, we just like stood up and started like screaming.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were just so happy. We're like jumping around the room. We're just like, we can go house hunting now. And like, this is where it actually starts. But it wasn't just getting over the line. It was like we were there, but it was still so far. Yeah. And the process was still going to take some time.
Yeah, it does. It does take time, right? Because you can't just go and find a property the next minute. But you must have had such a realization and self-achievement at that point in time that you're like, this is all now starting to be worth it. Such an amazing feeling. I can only imagine. I wish I was a fly on the wall seeing you sort of jump around and see what that would have looked like as well, because you would have known that there's still a lot of work to do, but you were so close that you could almost touch it, right? But you still had a lot of work to do. So talk about that part of it. So you've gone from the lows. Mm-hmm. 3 months later, you've gone to the extreme highs, yet you still know there's a lot of work to go. Yeah. So how did you bring yourself back down to, I guess, to earth and then start really ticking those boxes? And what were those boxes that you had to tick?
So after the meeting with Anna, all we needed to do was find a property. Mm-hmm. So we started house hunting. We were on TradeMe. We were on every site that you could potentially buy a house or look at a house. We were on there every night making inquiries, going to multiple house viewings, open homes, so many. Mm-hmm. And the thrill of it was so good at the time that it kind of just made you want to sign the agreement.
Yeah.
But it was just, we knew we were going to rush into it, and just it took a lot of patience to find a property that we're in now.
Wow. Okay. So what you're saying is that it would have been easier to sign the first home, right?
Definitely.
And I've been through this feeling as well. Yeah. And it's really difficult because you don't want to get emotionally attached to the mm-hmm. first home you see, because it's like you see it, you like it, you just want to buy it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's quite easy to look at that. How was it? Like, how did you keep your feet grounded and actually say, no, this is going to take a time? Because we're at the high, remember, like our emotions we're excited, we're young, we really want this. What was it that kind of kept your feet on the ground?
Yeah, so we reflected and really thought about the property that we were viewing at the time, and speaking amongst each other on the car ride home, like, do we see ourselves in this property, raising our daughter? Do we see us here in 2 to 3 years' time? Like the neighborhood as well. It was just a lot of reflection after each house viewing, really asking those questions to each other and coming up with a conclusion.
So then you found the property that you wanted.
Yeah.
You put an offer on the property. That was accepted.
Yeah.
Right. Then you've gone through the whole bank aspect. Obviously, Anna's put you at the best bank that's going to suit you, give you the best options. How did you actually find the mortgage process itself? I know Anna's absolutely fantastic, but how did you find it, I guess, for the very first time? I can imagine you're extremely happy you had someone in your corner helping you through the process, but I know it can be quite daunting myself as well, but how did you feel going through it for the first time?
I mean, it was really overwhelming. I remember, and I was telling Charles, I was like, I feel so overwhelmed. Like, there's so much to do, but I know I have to get it done if we want to be in this property. So I did feel overwhelmed at that time when we were speaking with Anna. And it was honestly just a constant, as I mentioned, referring back to Ali the chickens.
Yeah.
So, and then if I was ever unsure about anything, then I would just flick Anna a text. She'll literally respond straight away and reassure me that everything's okay. Don't worry. Like, we can get this sorted.
Yeah. And I guess that's one of the key things. Is obviously a first home buyer, very, very new to this whole aspect of things. Things can get quite daunting, I'd say. Right. Now, looking back, you got the keys when to your house?
On the 3rd of April.
3rd of April. So yes. We are just over, well, no. Yeah, we're smack on a week. Yeah. Smack on a week. I want to ask these next two questions. How does it feel now to have the keys to your own home?
It still feels unreal. Like, I mean, if honestly, at the moment, it just feels like me and Charles have hired an Airbnb and we're just there on vacation. Every time, like after work, we're just like, wait, we got to go home. Like, we got a whole house to go home to.
Yeah.
So the feeling is still unreal.
I guess there's going to be no renovations or landscaping that you want to do. Have you looked at ways you want to put your own touch on the house yet?
Definitely. There has been a few ideas that we kind of want to get into the property and kind of make it our home, which is in the works.
Awesome. Yes. So from reaching out at the very beginning to get your first home, to now owning one, what are the most memorable moments over the last, say, 12 months in your opinion?
It was the interaction.
Right.
Yeah. I created real strong relationships with the advisors that were helping me during the time. So yeah, it was definitely the relationship that was really memorable.
Okay. So you had, it sounds like also a very, very good experience, which is fantastic. So like you looked back, you've had a really good interaction. You started from the bottom and obviously naturally got to where you are right now with the property. Is there any one particular moment that just makes you extremely, extremely proud? Like one moment, like and sort of how, if so, how has that sort of shaped your mindset now and where you want to go and move forward?
Yeah, I mean, the plan at the time when we first started, I was 21 years old, and seeing where, if you ever told me at 21 years old I'd be in my house before I was 25, I'd think you're absolutely crazy. So it's just looking back at that where I'm just like, well, I'm so proud of myself. Like, we actually stuck with the plan. Obviously, there were a lot of roadblocks throughout our journey, but they didn't stop us from reaching our goal.
That's what I love, I think, the most about this is that there were roadblocks. You know, you had some ups and you had some downs. You went out of your way to actually do what you needed to go and do. Now, you didn't let high interest rates in 2024 deter you either, right? Because it's quite easy to let external factors deter you, but that didn't bother you?
No, because I knew that soon it'll all come down.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Hopefully. And naturally, I guess, in that process, you guys have gone to your own home. What are the aspirations for the future? Is it to rent this out, to buy another one, to sell? What's the goals? I know it's early. It's been a week.
Yeah. We haven't really decided whether we want to sell the property or rent it out, but we definitely want to be able to get into a bigger property so we can have more kids.
So that is on the cards in the future. So now it's just enjoying it, living it. Now, the last one I guess want to ask you before we sign off here is your friends, right? Obviously all around the same age as you and probably in a very different situation as well. What's the feedback which you've kind of had from the family and friends?
It was motivation. Like, they really like just made sure that we stuck it out. Especially the support. Our family supported us throughout the entire journey with our daughter as well, just so that we could work those extra shifts to get more money for a deposit or just come to work in general.
Yeah. And your friends, being 23, 24 themselves.
Yeah.
Any of them with houses or?
No, unfortunately not. So they're still really mind blowing that I've been able to get into my own property of my own, but they are very proud. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you sort of tried to have a conversation with them just to say, hey, look, you guys can actually do this too?
Yeah, but definitely. We have those conversations all the time. I think there's just a few things that kind of limit them to actually getting there. But I know one day, I hope that one day they are able to get into their own property and use this as an example to be like, we can do it.
And I think in the scheme of things, it shows that, you know, there's no luck involved really here. It's not the market. It's not looking back and saying, well, you had better opportunity. You had just as much opportunity as anybody else. There's zero luck involved in this. It's not like property prices crashed. It's not like interest rates are really low. You literally had to go and stick that out. And I think that's the one thing I love is that, you know, there are a lot of success stories out there that may also involve more family help, more financial help, you know, higher income paying jobs, things like that, where there is more opportunity. But where you guys started at your age, you didn't have any of that.
Yeah, we didn't even have a great income. I mean, the dream of purchasing our first home at that time was just a dream. And until we met with Ali, he was like, you know, if you can get more money and if you can save, then you can do it. I mean, obviously we didn't have money at the time, but we knew that we could save. Yeah. We were spending way too much money shopping, but we knew that if we couldn't do one thing, we can do something else to put us in a better position to get there.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you've done. You've just settled on your property, I guess from the very bottom to where you guys are now. And this is why I was so excited for you to settle, to get you on today, because I think there's a lot of people out there that fit into your category, right? And what it shows is that the dedication there, the drive, following the plan and having the right people beside you every step of the way is going to speed that journey up so much more, right? You're going to get there a lot quicker. And I think you're a pure example of that. And from what I've learned as well, not even knowing some of these things that you did have a job has kind of blown my mind too, because it goes to show a lot about your character and what you guys want to do for your future. So I really appreciate you being on today, sharing your story, getting a little bit vulnerable with, you know, some of the shortcomings during that whole process. But I'm hoping that this goes a long way for other people to kind of motivate them to say, look, we can also do that. And if that has motivated people, look, I'm sure you're going to be happy enough for people to ask you exactly some nitty gritties, and we're going to be happy to help people through that process as well and paint that picture too. So look, I'm really happy you came on today, and I appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. And for everybody else, if you do want some assistance or some help through this whole process, you know exactly where to find us. You can jump onto our, you're on YouTube or the Spotify right now, you can jump onto our Facebook page. You can reach out directly as well. And we'll be more than happy to help you through the process. But for now, thank you. And we'll see you in the next episode.